Well, let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Thank Him for what He's done for us. Guys, thank you very much. I enjoyed hearing you sing that. And perhaps, why don't you just prepare that to sing that for our invitation? Shannon and guys, why don't you do that? At the end, let's just, I want to hear it again. They did a wonderful job, and I believe that'll be a good song for us to go out on. Stand with me tonight and turn your copy of God's Word to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And tonight we're talking about our core values of our church, and what I'm doing is just trying to compile some of the things that we have taught over the past several years and just try to reemphasize what we believe to be true, what we believe to value. Last week we talked about the valueship of a membership, that I believe that being a member of a local assembly, you ought to put a premium on it. You ought to be a part of a local assembly, serving and tithing and using your talent and your time within that local assembly. And we emphasized that last week. And tonight, I'm going to preach on something that's very precious to me. I enjoy missions. I feel like God has really burdened my heart for missions, not only overseas, but here in the States, within the local assembly. So tonight, we're going to talk about one of our church values, and that's the value of mission. The value of mission. Now, in academic circles, when you have the word mission and the word missions, it means two different things. When we talk about mission, we are talking about the mission that God has called us to as the church. When you tag the S on it and say missions, we are talking about what we do as a church for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've done a lot of things in the area of missions. We've built churches. We discussed building a handicap ramp today for somebody. And there's all sorts of things we do. We have fed the homeless. We have done all sorts of things in the area of missions. But tonight, God has a mission. There is a purpose that God has called us to, and I believe the church ought to value that. And of course, we find that mission in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 is some of the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ as He is talking to His disciples before He ascends into heaven. And you've heard it before, and we'll probably preach it 100 times more, God willing, in the years to come. Acts chapter 8, or chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power." Now, by now, everybody should know at least one Greek word. Somebody tell me what the word power is in the Greek text. Dunamis. Thank you very much. So you're learning. You shall receive dunamis. What English word do we get from that Greek word? Dynamite. There you go. So it tells me my preaching's not falling on deaf ears. So the Bible says, ye shall receive power that is dunamis or dynamite, explosive power. How? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Watch this. And ye shall be what? Witnesses. Unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Tonight, with the Lord being our helper, just for a little while tonight, and I don't want anybody else passing out the remainder of the service, all right? Everybody's got to take a deep breath, and we'll crank the air on no one else gets to pass out. I'm glad Miss Billy's doing well. Let's pray for her, pray for the service, and let's pray that God will really burden in our heart the value of mission. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. I thank you for your grace and for your goodness. Thank you for watching out over Miss Billy, Lord, and I pray that you bless her and strengthen her. God, I pray, Lord, for those who are not able to be with us tonight because of sickness, Lord, of some type of hindrance from getting them here. And Father, I just pray that you watch over them. And I pray, Lord, as we look at your word tonight, that you'd help us to understand the power that we have received from the Holy Spirit of God in the life of the church. So help us, Lord, to be missional in all of our endeavors. Help us to embrace not only missions, but the mission. God, the commission that you have called us to. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You guys are awesome, and you can be seated. Now, I will have to say that you don't have to be a secret agent to be on mission for God. It seems like many of us are very familiar with, you know, the movie there that was out a while back, Mission Impossible, and it seems like that's the way a lot of people live their Christian life. they think mission is mission impossible. I'm here to tell you, it's not mission impossible, it's mission possible. And God makes it possible through the Holy Spirit living in our heart and in our life. And so we place great value on that tonight as a church, as your pastor, as our staff and our deacons here. We place great value on being a church that believes in mission. Now understand that God wants us to have a ministry in the church, but also God wants us to have a mission in the culture. And there is ministry in the church, but there is the mission that God's called us to the culture. Basically, it breaks down this way. Ministry is serving Christ with the saints. Now, we've done that many, many times. There's all sorts of things that we can do in an area of ministry. The Lord's allowed us to feed the homeless. We have built the handicap ramps. We have built the church in a different country. We've been able to go to several different churches. Some of you are partnering right now to go to Grenada to help Brother Michael Lambert in a beautiful building. Wait till you see the pictures. Brother Lynn's got some of the photos of the church. I'm telling you, when I was there several years ago, there were animals running through the church. There was no doors and windows or nothing, was there? And it was an awful, awful place, but they've cleaned it up, and it looks beautiful, and I feel like we've been a part of that because the money we gave and the ministry opportunity we've had to serve. So there's all sorts of areas. Miss Sherry Fowler contacted me this week, and she has a card ministry that she is starting, and her and some other folks in the church, and I was just blessed by that, how she had a passion to serve her Lord with the talent that God's given her just by sending a card out to those who are unable to be with us. So when we talk about ministry, we're talking about the capacity to serve Christ with the saints. But when we talk about mission, we are talking about sharing Christ with a sinner. Ministry, we partner with the saints, but in mission, you and I are sharing Christ with the sinner. And God has commissioned His church to do so. You see, not only are we saved to serve, we are saved to share. God has saved us to serve with one another, but God has also saved us to share the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says it this way, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That is the ministry God has given us. He has saved us in order to serve, and He has saved us to share. Now, I will tell you that a strong sense of mission is the hinges that the door of ministry swings on. You show me a church that values missions and a church that values mission, then I will show you a church that has a door of opportunity to evangelize the lost and bring the glory of Jesus Christ into a community. Now, somebody asked me one time, and it was really just recently, they said, "Brother David, how do you define missions? How do you define the mission God's called us to?" Well, in recent days, I have adapted Dr. Kenneth Park's definition of mission. In his book entitled World in View, he has a great definition of missions, and it goes like this. It says, "Missions is God's redemption proclaimed through persons to all people. The source is God. Its embodiment is Jesus Christ. Its story is the Bible. Its purpose is salvation. Its scope is humanity. Its declaration is the Bible's mandate. Its fulfillment is the church's task. Its application is the world's hope. And its culmination is God's glory." That's a great definition of mission. God has called us to declare the glory of His story, and everything that we do culminates in that one purpose, that we make the nations glad in the goodness of God. So that's what God's called us to. And I believe in missional evangelism. I believe that's what God wants for our church. And so we at Parkway place great value on Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where the Bible says, "Ye will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." God never called us to be a lawyer. God never called us to be a judge. God called us to be a witness, and we testify to the truth that has been revealed to us, and we do it in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So with our commission and our mission before us, here's what I want to do tonight. I want to consider why we value mission. Why, as a church, should we place great emphasis and have value on mission? First of all, we are to value mission because God has called us to function in His missional power. We value mission because of the function that it provides for us and what God has given us in the area of missions. God has called His church to function in God's missional power. Now, the Bible tells you and I that, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I want you to understand tonight, in the life of the church, God has given us His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit has so much power that He wants to offer the church. And somebody says, well, Brother David, what do you mean by power? Are we talking about miracles and all this and that? Maybe perhaps like the Pentecostals? What do you exactly mean when you say that God has given us power? The Bible says God has given us power to be a what? Say it with me. A witness. You see, the power that He gives us is the power of influence. And in our world, some people use influence for the good, others use influence for bad. Hitler, for example, used the power of influence for bad. Murdered thousands and thousands of Jews, tried to be a world dictator, and he used that innate personality of his to try to ruin the world. But others, like Jesus Christ, used his personality and his talents and his time and everything he had to influence man for good, for God, and for glory. So when God says, I'm going to give you power, He's telling His church, I'm giving you the capability, the sovereign capability of being a strong influence in the world. And can I ask you this? Is there anything stronger than God? Absolutely not. Can you say amen? So God is on our side. That means that the church is like an army mighty with banners, that we cannot be defeated. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. So He's given you the capability of being a great influence in the world. You know, I was reading once where there was an American and a Canadian. They were standing at Niagara Falls. And they were both sitting there looking at that massive amount of water as it was cascading down that mountainside. And one of them said, the Canadian looked to the American. He said, you know what? That is the greatest untapped power and resource the world has ever seen. Well, the American was a Christian. He turned to the Canadian. He said, you know what? I have to beg to differ. The greatest power that hasn't been tapped into is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, if we ever tap into the power of the Holy Spirit of God and let God consume us and let God be with us and let God give us what we need, we will turn our city upside down and we will literally reach Catoosa for Christ, all because of the missional functioning power of the Spirit of God in the life of the church. That's good preaching, Brother David. Can you say amen? There's been many people that have tapped into that. Many people have allowed the Spirit of God to bless them and to encourage them. One of the guys I was reading about today was David Livingston. And as I was studying my sermon, I got so enthralled in the life of David Livingston that Brother Roy called me right in the middle of my reading, and I paused. I was just kind of raptured up and just thinking about this amazing man of God. And he said, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I was just reading and I'm just thinking about this man. David Livingston was a missionary that went to Africa, and literally God used him to function in God's missional power in a great and extraordinary way. When David Livingston got to Africa, he was there and in 1856, he was getting discouraged. And there was all sorts of opposition that was coming his way. As a matter of fact, his life was being threatened. He didn't even know if he would live to see the next day. There was hostility. There was the natives that were there were restless. And he's trying to minister. And all these things are happening. And all of a sudden, David Livingston, who knew that that's exactly where God wanted him, he recorded in his diary on January 14th, 1856. He penned these words. He said, felt much turmoil of spirit and prospect of having all my plans for the welfare of this great region and this teeming population knocked on the head by savages tomorrow. But I read that Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It is the word of a gentleman of the most strictest and sacred honor. So there is an end of it. I will not cross tonight
as I intended. Should such a man as I flee? Should I stray away from God? Nay, verily I shall take observation for latitude and longitude tonight. Though they may be the last, I feel quite calm now. Thank God he's on my side. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, when you are functioning in God's missional power, it doesn't matter what the culture does against us, we will prevail because God is on the throne. Can you say amen? David Livingston was so wrapped up into the spirit of Almighty God that in 1861, he discovered that his wife was very, very ill. As a matter of fact, her illness led to her death. He threw himself into his work in such a way that God began to bless him in the latter years of his life. After his wife died, basically David Livingston disappeared from 1861 all the way to 1871. Until somebody who was from the New York Herald by the name of Henry Morton Stanley came out to try to find David Livingston and do a report and see what was going on. Morton found Livingston, and because of his friendship, really helped him to try to come back to the States, but Livingston wouldn't leave the mission field. He was determined to stay right there in Africa. And it was because of Morton that Livingston even lived on probably 18 more months, they said. But one day, in his home, next to his bed, David Livingston got down on his hands and knees and he began to pray. When his friends come knocking at his door, they found David Livingston on his knees beside his bed, his hands folded in prayer, and he was dead and he had gone home to be with the Lord. At that man's very last moment, he was caught up in functioning in God's missional power. No, there's probably, I believe that David Livingston probably got on his hands and knees that day as he's bowed down before that bed and he's praying for Africa and he's praying for God's power, that perhaps it seemed like that the lap of Jesus was there. And God said, David, you're a little closer home to my house than you are to yours. And David just laid his head down in the lap of Jesus in prayer and woke up in the glories of heaven. I'm here to tell you, friend, one of these days, heaven's going to be a reality. The gates of pearls is real. The walls of jasper is real. Heaven is real. God is real. The Spirit of God is real. And God wants heaven and the Spirit to be real in our heart today. Can you say amen? So I value missions. Why? Because God has enabled us to minister and functioning in God's missional power. But notice, secondly, not only does the Bible say we are to value missions because we can function in God's missional power, but second, we are to value fulfilling God's missional purpose. We are to value fulfilling God's missional purpose. Now notice what the Bible says in our text. But ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, I've told you this, and I don't mean to slam some of my Pentecostal friends, nor do I need, I want to sound rude. But a lot of my Pentecostal friends and Church of God friends that I know, you know, they'll say, well, David, you need to have the second filling of the Spirit. And if you'd only have the Holy Ghost on you, you would begin to speak in tongues. Well, I have to beg to differ with them because the Bible says, listen what the Bible says, not what dogma says, but what the Bible says. The Bible says, ye shall be what? Witnesses when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Nowhere in the Bible does it say when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you'll speak in tongues. The Bible says when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will be a witness. That is, you will testify of the goodness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he said that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, guess who he was saying it to? Oh, he was saying it to a bunch of seminarian students. He was preaching to a crowd of prophets. There was a group of people there that was in seminary, and they were preachers and teachers in training. That's who he had stated that to. Well, remember, friend, the people that he stated it to, they were tax collectors, fishermen, farmers. They were homemakers, businessmen. In other words, Jesus said that to people just like me and you. He's telling the evangelist and the electrician, he is saying to the plumber and to the preacher, he is saying to the housewife and the businessman, he is saying that you will receive power after the Holy Ghost of God has come upon you, and you will be a witness unto me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, we need to place great value on fulfilling God's missional purpose. You say, well, Brother David, what is it? That missional purpose is being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, everybody in here has a testimony. We all do. A matter of fact, listen, there is no plan B. We always operate on plan A. God's not saying, okay, if plan A doesn't work, then we're going to go to plan B, and I'm going to get the angels together, and the angels will go down there, and they'll begin to preach. No, God has chosen frail humanity to tell the story of His glory. God's called me, and God has called you. That's plan A. And see, we all have a testimony. God's given a testimony to every one of us. How do we know? Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we all, A-L-L, we all are witnesses. You see, God called you to be a witness, not a salesman. And we, in modern day evangelism, there's a lot of folks who believe that, you know, they have the salesman mentality. That we're going to, you've heard me say it before, we're going to market, you know, a certain group. That is, this family's got X amount of children. This family's got X amount of income. These families go and live in this community to this high school and that middle school. So we'll divide everybody up and we'll market them and we will sell them our church. Can I tell you, God never called me to be a salesman. God called me to be a witness. And how would you like to join a church and all of a sudden you found out that you're there because you had something to offer, your family size, the community you was in, maybe the income that you made. They didn't ask you to come in and love you because of who you are and the free message of grace. It's because you had something that they needed. I'm here to tell you, friend, God has it all. We don't need anything. He's going to supply. Can somebody say amen? We are to preach and we are to teach and we are to love. Red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That is the purpose of God's plan for His church. And I'm here to tell you, as the pastor of Parkway Baptist Temple, I place great value on that. That God has called us to all people. We're not a salesman. We are witnesses. God never called us to be lawyers. God called us to be a witness. When you read the Word of God, you'll find that nowhere in the Bible are we called to argue. Are we called to debate or this and that? We are simply to tell the truth of the Word of God. That's what a witness does. If a witness is called into court, he's not there to argue. A witness is there not to debate. He's not to fight for a cause. A witness simply testifies of what they know, what they have seen, and what they have heard. That is a witness's job. What you know, what you've seen, and what you have heard. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what God's called us to do in this world. He has called us to testify as to what we know to be true. The Bible says of one person said, I was blind, but now I see. What they know, what they've seen, and what they have heard. That's what you testify to. God has called you and I as a church to place great value on this thing called missional evangelism, fulfilling God's missional purpose. But not only do we function in God's missional power and we fulfill God's missional purpose, but there's another aspect of missions that we place great value on, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we value following God's missional plan. We value following God's missional plan. Now, it's interesting, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus not only tells us what we are to do, and how we are to do it, but He also tells us where we are to do it. Jesus not only says, here's what you're to do, and here's how you're going to do it, but here's where you're going to begin. Now, I would like for our church to be an Acts chapter 1, verse 8 church. I believe every church ought to strive to be that type of church, an Acts 1, 8 ministry. You say, well, Brother David, what is it? Well, notice what he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here's where you start. I want you to be a witness. Where do you start? Both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Basically, he's saying, first, I want you to go to the community. That's Jerusalem. Second of all, I want you to go to the country. That is Judea. Then I want you to hit the continent. That's Samaria. Then I want you to head on out to all of creation, and that is the uttermost parts of the world. Can I tell you, friend, God never called us to live our lives in a little glass box here in Catoosa County. Now, I believe in local missions. And I believe there's a lot more that we can be doing. Somebody called me this week and told me about a feeding program to the projects that are around here that I believe we could probably get involved in, and where we can have some sack lunches to some underprivileged kids who are not eating after school and eating in the summer. And that's a great missional opportunity for us to use our influence for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we can build more handicap ramps as volunteerism comes in and as money comes into the church. We can maybe build another church in another country and help out another missionary. There's all sorts of things that we have to do. But listen, we can run the roads and we can fly in the air and minister everywhere. But listen, God says your first place to start is right here in Jerusalem. We can go to Dominican, we can go to Costa Rica, we can go to London, we can go to Wales, we can go all these places, but we have to make sure we are taking care of Jerusalem first. And Jerusalem is, listen, are you listening? Here's where you start in Jerusalem. Faithful to Sunday school. Faithful to Wednesday night service. Ooh. Faithful to Wednesday night Bible conference night. Faithful to it. That's your Jerusalem. Sunday school. The Dorcas ministry. Ladies, there's a bunch of ladies out here. All you ladies ought to be a part of our Dorcas ministry, our Dunamis ministry. All you guys ought to sign up and help Brother Allen do anything that he can for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's working in Jerusalem. Those of you that can sing like a hummingbird, shame on you if you are still sitting in the pew and God's given you a talent to sing. Get up in the choir and sing for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what's it take for me to get up there? It takes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. About 6 steps to get right into the choir and you're in. Can you say amen? What I'm saying is you start right here in your Jerusalem. We get out of the church what we place into the church. And I believe Jesus started with Jerusalem on purpose. If we don't get it right here, how do we expect to go somewhere else? If we can only love children in the orphanages in other countries, well, shame on us if we cannot love the children right here in our own Awana program. And so we have to place value on what is important. And listen, I'm not saying that we don't. I think our church is amazing. We've done some amazing things. We have literally given hundreds of thousands of dollars in the area of missions over the past several years. And to God be the glory, can you say amen? Well, here's what I am saying. Let's not get wrapped up in the culture and live our lives in the fog where we forget about what's important. If we're going to be an Acts chapter 1 verse 8 church, we've got to start right here in our community, into the country, let's hit the continent, then by God's glory and God's grace, let's follow God's missional plan, let's hit the creation of God and tell everybody the story of God's wonderful glory. Can you say amen? You say, I place value on. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We follow God's missional plan. Let me give you one more and we'll go because you've been great. Last of all, we are to value finding God's missional passion. So we are following God's missional plan. We are functioning in God's missional power. We are fulfilling God's missional purpose. But the last of all, we place great value on finding God's missional passion for our church. Now, did you know what determines your passion? Do you know what determines your passion? Your priorities determine your passion. If your priority is money, then money is going to be your passion. If your priority is music, then music is going to be your passion. But if missions and mission is your passion, then people will be your priority. You see, God has called us to people because people count. Every single person. We are many torches, but one flame. We touch lives one verse at a time. And I'm here to tell you, when a church has mission and missions as their priority, you will find every single time, every decision, every dollar that's spent, everything that goes on, it's all because people are their passion. Listen, you know what Jesus' passion was? People. All the way to old little bitty Zacchaeus, who's jumping up and down trying to look over the crowd to climb up in a tree to see Jesus. He said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house today. When everybody else neglected him, Jesus took time for people. Whether it's a leper, whether it's a blind man, whether it's a funeral, whether it was a wedding, God used his influence to influence people to realize he is the only way
for eternal life. Can I tell you this? I want God to birth within us and give us a deep passion where everything we do, we are so missional in our endeavors that it's apparent to anybody that walks in. That's an Acts chapter 1, verse 8 church. If they say, hey, how can you explain Parkway Baptist Temple? What are they all about? Well, just read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you will figure it out. They are hitting Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Their priority is right because their priority is people, because people count. The souls whom God died for. Can I tell you, as the pastor of this church, that's where my value, my priority's at. I place value on membership. I want you to love your church, as we preached last Sunday night. But the second value I want to emphasize is missions and mission. Mission is what God has called us to. Put the S on it. That's where we serve. That's where God wants us to be in all aspects of our life. Serving with the saints, sharing with the sinner. Would you partner with us of that? Would you commit your heart to God tonight? Maybe it's been a long time since you have gotten involved. Can I tell you, God never called you to sit soaking sour. God never called you to be a missionary to the pew family, where you just sit there and that's all you associate with is the pew. God wants you to take your life and mesh it with others and have a garment of praise that God winds together with our lives and intermingle with one another. That's what God's called us to. I know many of you are pushing towards that way. I want the rest of you to get on board with us. Let's commit together. Let's do it together. Let's find out what we can do for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ to turn Catoosa upside down, sharing the story of His glory. If you believe it, say amen. Yes, amen. Hey, the altar's open. Would you come? God speak into your heart. Yes, amen.
Without you holding my hand.
Amen.
The mountains too high.
Amen.
And the valleys too wide. And was down on my knees.
That's where I learned to stand.
I've learned how to stand.
Amen.
Let's
sing that chorus one more time. Once you sing with us. All right, here we go. Let's all sing it together. Can't even walk. Here we go now. Sing to the Lord.
Can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high.
And the valley's too high.
And the valley's too high.
I like this part. Here we go.
Down on my knees, I've learned how to stand. Can't even walk.
Amen.
Without you,
thank you, Lord.
My hand.
Yes, thank you, Lord.